Okay, hi.
You're right, I am sleepy. I think I'm almost always sleepy when I come to this teaching because I'm not a late night person. And then what happens is half an hour of teaching wakes me all up, and then it takes me like 2 more hours to get tired again. So I end up going to bed late on Wednesdays instead of early. But we're here for what we're calling I Am That, but I'm using different books. And tonight we're continuing a conversation that's in Consciousness and the Absolute, the final talks of Nisargadatta Maharaj. And it's the second conversation in the book. It's dated May 10th, 1980. It begins on page 21. Oh, no, I don't know. That's a 2 and a slash. It looked like a 21. but today we're starting on page 4, because we're about halfway through the conversation. And if you guys may remember, if you were listening last week, you may remember that we were looking at 2 options for the body, personality, mind. One option is to go dormant at the end of life. And that is what the sages call death. The other one was to let the ego sense end or die. And that is what is called enlightenment. And Nisargadatta Maharaj is talking to a particular questioner. And he's explaining to the questioner that, whatever you see, whether you're in the waking state or the dreaming state, comes from your own being. And he talks about how in deep sleep, we often hear this conversation, in deep sleep, consciousness was in a dormant condition. There were no bodies, no concepts, no encumbrances. And that when you wake up and the I am returns, the I am is illusion. And this is where we left off last week. And so the questioner says, does Maharaj mean that the experiencer of the 3 states is the self? So he's asking, is it the self that knows the waking state, the dreaming state, and the deep sleep state? And I don't think this book has it does have a little bit of a glossary. So let's see if I can look this term up. It's Saguna Brahman. Saguna Brahman. The absolute, conceived of as endowed with qualities. That's Saguna Brahman. The absolute, conceived of as endowed with qualities. So Nisargadatta Maharaj says, that is the Saguna Brahman state. Because of your beingness, the other states are. The dream world is very old. It is not new. You see old monuments in your dreams. Your beingness is very powerful. The emergence of this beingness itself constitutes time. Everything is beingness, but I, the absolute, am not that. In meditation, there was space when suddenly 2 forms appeared out of no form. So he's referring to that vision that he had, which we talked about last week. In meditation, there was space when suddenly 2 forms appeared out of no form, Prakriti and Purusha. And the quiet of these forms was the knowledge I am. There were no forms, then suddenly forms appeared, just as in the dream world. Now he continues, but I just want to pause there for a moment. Today I was, of course, reading the forum, And someone in the forum, I think it happened in the forum. I've also been listening to the sanctuary, so it could have happened when I was listening to someone teaching in the sanctuary. Either reading the forum or listening to the sanctuary, I heard someone say or read someone say that when Adyashanti was asked what he knows for sure, he said, "The only thing I know for sure is that I am." And in the moment that I heard that, what I felt very strongly, you know, kind of like an insight type of feeling within me, was what I know for sure is there was something before that. There had to be something before that. I am comes from something. And it was one of those spontaneous, non-thinking certainties, right? I am comes from something. And this is really what Nisargadatta is attempting to say. You know, he says that in his vision, he saw this male and this female, Prakriti and Purusha. And they appeared in his vision, and that they represented the knowledge I am. But before they appeared, I'm just going to say there was without them, right? He says there were no forms. Then suddenly forms appeared, just as in the dream world. Now here I think he's referring to, when he says the dream world, I think he's referring to like at night. At night at some point we're in deep sleep. And, you know, there's no objects. And then a dream starts, right? Well, what existed? And of course, right now I'm just talking about in the human world. But what existed so that those images could appear and so that I could exist in a dream? Now, in this case, the source of that is the mind. The mind existed. The mind was asleep in a dormant state, but it was, right? It was. If mind had not been first, there could not be a dream. Mind is the source of the dream. Well, the I am presence how do I say this? I want to call it, for lack of better words, if you don't take this as a capital R real, as a little R real, the I am presence is a very real sense. But it's an image, it's an appearance, and it comes from something. The question is, what does it come from? Where does it come from? What is its source? Nisargadatta says, you, as a dreamer, are sleeping on the bed, but in your dream world, you see a body and you think it is you, and you are doing everything through this dream body. In that same way, bodies are created in the so-called waking state. So we talked about the fact that the mind is the source of the images that appear in the nighttime dream. So he's saying in the exact same way, there is a source of these body-mind personalities that appear in the waking state, that it's really no different. And this isn't anything we haven't heard before. He says, the Prakriti and the Purusha state has no form and is eternal, having neither a beginning, a a beginning nor an end. But from it come the five elements, and with them simultaneously, the body is formed at the moment that time is first experienced. This process is ever continuing, with the body form merely indicative of the opportunity to experience time. This explanation will not reach home to everyone. At the moment of so-called death, with what identity would you like to depart? At the moment of so-called death, with what identity would you like to depart? I had to read that question twice to understand it. So in the moment that you die, what do you want to be identified with? That's the question. In the moment that you die, what do you want to be identified with? I remember once a very long time ago, at least it seems like what I'm telling you is true, but I'm getting to where I don't trust memory at all. But I think I'm telling you the truth. I think I heard Eckhart Tolle say something about when you die, stay with awareness. When you die the physical death, that if you stay with awareness, your physical death could actually be your awakening. Right? Because you can, just like right now when I meditate, I don't get sleepy as much as I used to. I used to get sleepy every time I meditated. Now it's actually rare. But if the sleepiness does come in, I have learned to kind of slip behind it. And from the state of awareness, watch the sleepiness. And when I watch the sleepiness, I'm not sleepy. Sleepiness is like an object, and I'm what's aware of it. Imagine doing that same thing with physical death. Right? Just like if I didn't slip behind the sleepiness, right? If I allowed my attention to be projected into the sleepiness, then what might happen is I might fall asleep, right? But when I stay behind the sleepiness and I watch the sleepiness, the awareness is aware the entire time. I'm aware that the awareness is aware the entire time. I never fall asleep. Imagine doing that with physical death. Imagine that it's the exact same thing. Because he's talking about it as if it's the exact same thing, right? When you're in deep sleep, the I am is dormant. When you wake up, it comes out of dormancy and you experience a self and a world. But he's also saying that what we call death is the I am going dormant, just like in deep sleep. And now he's asking, when you die, what do you want to be identified with? What if you can watch your death from a state of awakeness and be aware that you are aware? Then you would not die. Just like I don't fall asleep during meditation. Right? What do you want to be identified with when you die? And I imagine, just from what I've heard, that this is really the same with the ego death too, not the physical death. That when the ego death approaches, you know, everyone that I know of, which isn't a lot, that has walked through the ego death experience, they all admit to fear. I haven't heard anyone say that there was no fear. They all admit to fear. So how do you pass through that fear and allow the ego to die? Isn't it by getting behind the fear and watching it? Isn't it by being awareness, right? Then the fear just happens, and then it stops happening when it's done. And the ego dies, right? But you have to be behind the fear. You have to be the awareness, that which is watching the fear. So just like you could watch the physical death from awareness, you can watch the ego death from awareness. So, Nisargadatta asks, at the moment of so-called death, with what identity would you like to depart? Or what do you want to be identified with when you die? And the questioner answers, Parabrahman. Parabrahman is the absolute, what I call the first principle of God. So the questioner is saying, I would like to be identified with Parabrahman when I depart at the moment of death. The so-called death, as Nisargadatta called it. Nisargadatta says, the absolute, which I call Parabrahman. What is it like? What you are doing is multiplying words with more words, concepts with more concepts. So of course, he's telling this person, you don't even know what Parabrahman is. You know, you're just saying that. The question says, Maharaj must take me out of this, you know, out of this conceptual state that I am in. Maharaj says, can you define what you are? And the questioner says, I must have your blessing to understand what I am. Now, this is I would call this a very common Indian answer. You know, the Indians believe very much in the guru, right? The guru can bless me with grace, and I can awaken. And I think many even believe that without the guru's grace, you know, the guru being another individual, without the guru's grace, you can't awaken. So it's kind of an idea that a lot of Indians are stuck in, just like a lot of Westerners are stuck in the idea, especially Americans are stuck in the idea that you have to be saved, that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your savior. You know, it's just kind of an idea they're stuck in, right? So he says, I must have your blessing to understand what I am, right? I can't do this without your blessing. Nisargadatta says, you are very adept at word games. Well, I am talking about knowledge that is beyond this phenomenal world. You are trying to understand through worldly concepts and words. Give up all these concepts and inquire into the nature of your beingness. How did you happen to be? Ponder it. The real blessing of the guru comes when your knowledge itself sprouts inside you. So I think that's the end of the conversation. It is. So I want to go back then to this question that he asked the questioner, which the questioner did not answer. Can you define what you are? You know, it's kind of like he's asking the questioner, what are you? Can you define what you are? And of course, most of us, when we first start pondering that question, you know, we might say, I'm this person, right? That's who I am. I'm this person. Because that's the honest truth of what we believe in the very beginning. I remember in NTI, when I was asked what I am, my first idea, because it said in NTI I was given the instructions that what I am had to be inside. It couldn't be anything on the outside. So I knew I wasn't supposed to answer. You know, we were going to start deeper. I wasn't supposed to answer with like, I am this person. I am this body. I was looking in, look in and find out what you are. And NTI asked me, what are you? And I said, I am my thoughts. Right? That's where I started. I am my thoughts. And so NTI said to me, well, if you think you're your thoughts, then in order to fully understand what you are, you need to find out what the source of your thoughts are. And I just said, being purely at the conceptual level, just like this questioner is, I said, my mind. My mind is the source of my thoughts. And so NTI says to me, then what is the source of your mind? And I being purely conceptual, just like this questioner said, God is the source of my mind. But what was happening with me and what's happening with this questioner, it was there was no actual looking, no actual contemplation. And you know that insight that I had today when I either read or heard that Adyashanti, when asked, replied that the only thing he knew for certain was that I am. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That has a source. And that's what NTI kept asking me. What is the source? I am my thoughts. What is the source of your thoughts? I am my mind. Okay, what is the source of that? It keeps trying to go back. Right? And that's what Nisargadatta is explaining that he did. And of course, this was last week when we read it, but he said he started with the idea that he came from his parents. You know, we might start with ideas like I'm a body, I came from my parents, or I am my thoughts. It doesn't really matter where we start. We then go back. You keep seeking for where did that come from? What's the source of that? Until you get back to something that has no source. Right? What I'm going to do is fold this down so I know where to start next time I read from this book. And I'm going to switch books. I'm going to go to the Nisargadatta Gita, and I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to read the next quote, which is quote 5. This is funny because this is very much what Adyashanti said. Adyashanti said the only thing he knew for sure was that I am. Okay, so this is Nisargadatta saying, you are sure of the I am. That's like he's talking to Adyashanti. He says, you are sure of the I am. It is the totality of being. Remember, I am, and it is enough to heal your mind and take you beyond. Do you hear what he says, though? Did you hear that last word in that sentence? Beyond. Right? You are sure of the I am. It is the totality of being. Remember, I am, and it is enough to heal your mind and take you beyond. Beyond I am. Now the commentary, remember this commentary is written by Pradeep Apte, and that's how I'm saying it. I don't know how you say it. It's can you guys see it? Pradeep. APTE Apte. Pradeep says, you are definitely sure that you are. Only then everything else is, not before that. Since the I am lies at the very base of everything and is common to all, does it not form the totality of being? So, first of all, what he is saying in this particular paragraph, when I am is dormant, whether that is in deep sleep or whether that is in what we'll call death or prior birth, death and prior birth being the same thing, right? The space between death and birth, the dormancy. When I am in deep sleep and I am dormant, I am, not Regina, when I am in deep sleep and I am dormant, then there is no nothing. Do you agree with that? No objects, no world, no self, nothing. When the I am comes out of dormancy, there's everything. I mean, I could sit here. I only have 3 minutes left, but if we had an hour, I could sit here probably for an hour and just name things that I can see right now, right? And all these things that I can see because I am. You are definitely sure that you are. Only then everything else is. Not before that. Since the I am lies at the very base of everything and is common to all, without I am, I experience nothing. Since the I am lies at the very base of everything and is common to all, does it not form the totality of the being? Right? The entire experience comes from the I am. The entire experience of being alive, of existing, comes from the I am. Pradeep says, throwing aside everything, come back to this sense of your presence or being in all its purity, and it will heal your mind. Right? And so we know this teaching of Nisargadatta is just stay with the sense of I am or the sense of being. Right? It's also the same really as staying with awareness, with consciousness. The use of the word heal is very important as it clearly suggests that the mind or whatever has been loaded on the I am afterwards is a pain, an illness that needs to be cured. Right? So that's what the quote is saying when it says, remember I am, and it is enough to heal your mind. All of these ideas that we have, such as I am a body, I am a personality, right? All of these thoughts that we believe, all of that can be healed by abiding in meditation, just staying at the sense of I am. But then Pradeep also says, there is also here a hint towards something that is beyond the I am, right? So we find the I am, we abide in the I am. You could say that heals everything after the I am, everything that came into being after the I am came into being, right? And that's what we call purification. But also abiding in the I am will somehow bring you back, and this is what I think the Course means when it says God takes the last step, will bring you back into its source, that which is before the I am. So again, when Adyashanti said, all I know for sure is that I am. I mean, I've read this stuff forever, but you know what it's like when it hits you differently. I knew for a fact that there's something before the I am. And that concludes tonight. So I will make a draft post for you. All right, Don, and everybody have a wonderful evening.